Hey everyone, welcome back to Recently Retired, episode 9 of season 1. We're super excited. We're ending up season 1 in the next week. Super excited to have you all on this journey with us listening. And today we're going to be talking about recruitment and job searching. So kind of how we got into soccer and into college and then our transition into the workforce and into jobs and stuff like that. Welcome, everyone. So exciting. So, Tori, do you want to get us started on talking about kind of the beginning phases of recruitment for college soccer?
Yeah. No, I'd love to, Livvy. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah.
Of course.
I'd love to. Even though this is kind of your specialty, I guess I'll dabble.
I'm not sure why that's my specialty, but okay.
Because I talked all about injuries. That was my specialty.
But we both got recruited.
I didn't really have to do a lot of the work. Neil just loved me off the bat.
Did he? Did he tell you that?
Yes. We started young, which was like 8th grade, 9th grade, so like 13, 14 years old. Now that's changed for the better. And like coaches can't reach out till like, I think junior year. Which is really good. Cause it's like at that point, you know, if you're ready to go to college or not, and if you even want to continue playing soccer. But we started at like 8th grade, just sending out mass emails to colleges, going to college showcases. So just tournaments that really meant nothing for coaches to watch, and other tournaments that coaches came to. That was kind of the start of it all, which was just like me and Livvy were like, we wanted to go to a big school. We wanted to go down south. So obviously you guys know where we ended up. So a lot can change in the recruitment process. And I think that applies to job searching as well. Like you start off with this idea in your mind and then things change. Livvy, you want to talk about how kind of our mindset changed and if we wanted to go together or separate? How it was communicating with coaches.
Yeah, so from the bat, we said we wanted to go together just because we enjoyed playing together so much. And obviously, we're best friends, so that was fun. So I think when coaches reached out, like, just for one or the other, it was kind of like, yeah, give it a go, but probably not. It's a little frightening at first. I mean, you're emailing like every school in the country. Obviously, you're not hearing anything back. And then right when you do, like, I think it's like the coaches can't call you or they can't text you or email you. I forget the rules exactly, but like you could call them. Was that what it was?
You should probably do your research before starting a podcast on the topic.
Okay, so then you know then.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
You can reach out to coaches, but they can't respond until, I think, September 1st of your junior year.
No, we had, like, phone calls freshman year of high school.
I thought you said the rules now.
No, I'm talking about then.
Yeah, we could call them.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember exactly because they were constantly changing. Don't mind her attitude. She's a little grumpy tonight. But
that's anyways, you all the time.
What?
What?
Speak up.
Nothing.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. You can speak up if you want. We could call them. So then you would call them at like you're 14 or 15 years old and you're talking to like a D1 coach and you're just like, you don't really know what to say. They're asking you all these questions about like, you know, your mate, like what you want to do school wise, like blah, blah, blah. And then you schedule visits and do all the stuff. But I mean, since our team wasn't that like big, I don't think we had like the experience where it was like we went and did all these ID camps, which is like where you could go to an actual school and go to their identification camp and like perform and play, which is what a lot of people look like. So that's another route for like committing to colleges and getting recruited for a sport. But we mostly just went to tournaments and emailed coaches and talked to coaches on the phone. I think our first visit was at Syracuse and we went together, and we were freshmen in high school, and it was really fun. Like, the campus was gorgeous. Mom and dad came. I think we got to get out of school, whatever. It was fun. But yeah, we were ninth grade, so we were 14. And then, like, the coach sat us down, like, gave us the numbers or whatever, and then said, like, we need to have a decision by the end of the week. And we were like, whoa. I'm like, I don't know what I want, blah, blah, blah. So I think that was kind of stressful, but it was kind of like us quick to be like, no, I think you want to see what else is out there first. But then there was a coaching change, so I don't really know. But yeah, I mean, that was the beginnings of it, was just like calling coaches, trying to schedule visits and seeing where things went. And then also just training and going to these showcases. Do you want to continue a little bit about our path?
Yeah. I feel like it's so, like, boring and mundane to talk about. Like, it's just, like, blah. Because it was, like, it's just so, it's so, like, scripted, I guess. It's, like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you do it. And then you talk to your coaches. But I would say, like, kind of, if I could, like, go back and tell my younger self, it would just be, like, everything's going to work out as it should, even if you, like, don't start at the right school. Because I know a lot of our friends and teammates, Libby, have transferred but ended up finding happiness or ended up finding their way, whether that be in schooling or soccer, in relationships, friendships, things like that. Everything kind of seemed to work out, even if you had to go through struggle and go through a hard time to get to where you were. So I would just say, like, yeah, when we were, you know, on tours and visits and calling coaches, like, just trust your gut and trust the feeling that you get when you're at that school. And then most importantly, like, understand the head coach, his values, his vision for the school and his team, because I think, or her, because assistant coaches change a lot. So don't maybe, like, get attached to an assistant coach, because that's always subject to change, especially very frequently. But the head coach is usually pretty steady for a long time, you know, depending on where you are. But I think definitely looking at that, looking at, like, the location of the school, how far it is from family, you know, things like that, asking teammates or people who have been there who are older on your visit, like, their honest opinions, and asking, because, you know, I think if you sit down and ask somebody, like, can you tell me your honest opinion of your experience and of the coaches and things, they probably will. Maybe not in front of the coaches, but yeah, I think those are a few things I would kind of recommend when going through the recruitment process, because it is challenging, and definitely give yourself grace of, like, it's hard when you, like, you're not hearing from coaches, you're reaching out, like, you want to go on tours. And then, like, don't get discouraged, because, like, whether you want to go Division III, Division II, Division I, it's important to just be happy where you're playing and find kind of peace in that. And you can always, you know, transfer schools. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's important to, like, realize, I mean, our coach, who was assistant coach at Binghamton at the time, you know, gave us some really good advice about, like, if you want to go to a top school, like, you really have no idea, like, if you're going to play, if, say, you're a junior and you're finally worked your way to your spot, and then freshman of the year comes in and takes your spot immediately, like, it's important to kind of pick what you value, because that will determine a lot. So, like, do you value playing 90 minutes, starting and being a star? Do you value team culture? Do you value location? Do you value coaching? Like, whatever it is, like, pick the few that you value the most and, like, focus on those. Because for us, like I wanted to play, like, I knew I wanted to play. And I think it's important to just be honest with yourself, like, know your level. Like, I knew, like, I could be a starter at a big school, I guess, maybe. It was just up in the air. Like, I could if I worked hard, but then I also might not, because there could be someone better, the coach, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. So I was like, I want to go somewhere where I know I'm going to play and I know I'm going to make a difference and an impact. So I think that's important when looking at it too, is, like, don't kind of give yourself a false sense of reality. Like, if that's your parents or coaches telling you that, like, look around, be aware of your talent and what you're looking for. I think that was important when it came down to making our decision. And then obviously, like, money talks. It sounds kind of like blunt, but like if someone wants you, they'll show you. And like D2 and D3, they don't have money, so they'll show you in other ways. But I think that's also important to tell is like some coaches may just like try to get you there so that they have a good practice player. Like, focus on like morals and like how much you think you're gonna affect the program. Because I think that was super important to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it all comes down to you and what you want. And this applies so much to the job search too, which we'll talk about later on. Like, what is the company? What does the agency stand for? Who is your boss going to be asking, people who have worked there before their experiences. But I think it's what do you want? Are you fine being a practice player? Is that how you want to start out? Do you want to get really good experience playing at a big school? Maybe a football school, Big Ten, like any of that. Like you want the big party scene, like whatever it is. I think like having awareness and looking internally. So like, writing out a pros and a cons list of a few different schools that you have in mind and really diving into that and looking at the pros and the cons. I know that's like people don't do that as much anymore. That was like a thing that I think just the older generation did, but it works for a reason. You get to see it right on paper of like why I want to go to school and why I don't want to go to this school. So I think that's really important too. And then also, like Libby said, looking internally at your values and what you want. And really, I think getting the opinions of former players and current players and finding them in a space that's not with the coaches around and asking them their opinion of everything that you want. How's the education? How are the classes? How's the coaching staff? What does traveling look like? All of these questions are really important, and don't be afraid to ask them because, like, what's the worst that can happen? Somebody says, like, I don't feel like answering that, or like, no. Like, that's the worst that's going to happen. So just ask the questions because the worst that could happen is you don't get information. The best that can happen is you have such a more educated, knowledgeable answer when you decide, when you fully commit somewhere,
I think it's like really hard when you're getting recruited for a sport. It's like when is like it coming on where you need to make a decision because money's going to be gone, spots are going to be gone, or like waiting till you feel ready. I think that can be like a really hard balance, especially for us when it was earlier. It was like, okay, all these girls are committed to UNC, Duke, Stanford in 8th grade, and you're like, I'm not ready for that, but you're like, I can't wait till the junior year, or all the scholarships will be gone, all the team spots will be gone, like blah blah blah. So I think, like you said, it's just important to like really do your research and focus on what you want, as soon as you're going on those visits and as soon as you're whatever, getting ready, because it really does like count when you're making that list and you're trying to make a decision. Like you want to have all the information possible to make that decision. But yeah, I mean, I think it's hard when you're so young. And I think that's why women's soccer has one of the highest transfer rates of any sport, is because they recruited us, at least it was. Now transferring is just like crazy. But recruiting us so young, it's like you're in 8th grade, you commit to a school, and then you're like, they don't even have the major I want. It's 10 hours from home. Like, this is not what I want. And so it's like you try it for a year, and then you're like, no, you know what I mean? So I think that's kind of, tricky. And then coaching changes. I mean, it's the same thing. Like when people choose a job or want to go to a job for a boss or for a coworker or for a location, and then it's like things change, things come up. Like, what do you do next? So yeah, what would be like some of your advice for people going into like trying to make a decision on a school or a job or something like that?
Obviously trust your gut. That's my top one always.
What if you
You just
like
get
don't have a gut feeling?
I feel like if you don't have a gut feeling, like how did you feel when you were on the campus? How did you feel when you were around the team? So like it may not be a gut feeling, but notice your emotions. Were you happy? Were you smiling? Were you laughing? Were you excited about your future there? Or were you a little timid? Were you intimidated by the coaching staff? Did you not feel comfortable? Were you feeling a little scared? Like, tune into your emotions when you're on that campus, when you're surrounded by that team, when you're surrounded by that coaching staff. Because you may not have that, like, gut being like, oh, this is the place for me. This is where I want to spend the next 4 years. And I'm sure people listening have, like, had that gut feeling and it didn't turn out well, right? Because things change, circumstances change. And I was very lucky to have an amazing 5 years at the school I committed to, but that's not the case for everybody. So I would say tune into those emotions, tune into how you're feeling when you're around, when you're on campus, when you're, you know, talking to the coaches and things like that. I think that's really, really important. And then just the logistical stuff. Do they have the majors you're interested in? What is their, you know, the percentage of people who get jobs right out of undergrad? You know, look into your future, invest into, you know, a school that might, that will benefit you when you graduate, that has a good alumni connection network. I don't know, things like that, that may be a value of you that you're not thinking about when you're in high school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have any advice to add on to that? You're also talking really quiet. I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. I think all of that's really good advice, but I think it can just be very overwhelming. So like you said earlier, like making a list and like, I don't know, like just organizing your thoughts, because like all those things you said, it's like sometimes there's not like that perfect school or that perfect moment or that perfect emotion. But I think it's important to just like, yeah, like you said, follow what you want. Like, there's a lot with social media and like nowadays with NIL and all this stuff, it's like people are getting pulled so many different directions and you're seeing so many different things like go here because of this, go here because of this, like do this, this, this. But I think, like you said, it's important just to like take a break, make a list. Same thing with job searching, like look up everything, but then also like take a break, make a list, actually narrow down in a city you want or a couple, like don't, sometimes it can be very overwhelming to just like at the beginning of recruiting, when you email all these schools and you're going to all these showcases, same thing with a job. You're like mass sending your resume and you're just like, whoa. So sometimes I think it's important to like pick a school size, for example. Like for me, like I did not want to go to a small school. I didn't want it to feel like high school. And Bing is what, 25,000 with masters with graduate program.
Yeah, something like that. It keeps growing, honestly.
Yeah, it's always growing. But it's like I didn't want to like know everyone in my classes, blah blah, whatever it may be. I think that was like super important to us. So it's like that already cut off like a lot of smaller population schools. So I don't know. I think yeah, that would probably be one of my biggest advices. Like just slow down once you already did like your mass thing, and then like start narrowing down specifics and like writing things down and organizing your thoughts so it's all not just like way too much. But yeah, I think just not following what other people do because you think that's the right, or you think you should be following someone else or doing this, like go for what feels right to you.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think that's important to kind of narrow it down because it, you know, there's a million schools that you could choose from and that you may want to go to. So, really narrowing it in by picking what you want in certain areas. I think that's really important. But yeah, I think just anybody going through it right now, like take a deep breath, you know, you're going to end up where you're supposed to be. And if you're not, like, you're going to figure it out. Like, you're going to find a way. And just, you know, choose a place where you feel you felt happy or you felt joy when you were there. Because at the end of the day, competing super important, winning super important, playing is very important. But laughing and having fun, as you guys have heard from us, is what we miss most and what we remember the most from our time. And just, you know, having fun with teammates and joking around with coaches and having fun. So I think that's something for sure to just think about.
Yeah, I was going to say, they all say do the broken leg test.
Yeah.
You can kind of
tear your ACL test.
Yeah. Which basically, yeah, just if you did that, would you still like the place you're at? Or, you quit your sport, something happens, like, are you still happy? Do you still see yourself living there for the next 4 years? And I think transferring is a great option now, like, if you aren't, but I think it's also very challenging. So I think that just puts more emphasis on picking the right school and like doing your research and taking your time, because I mean, obviously, like unseen circumstances, sure, but it's definitely hard, like leaving all your friends in your town. So it's like, yeah, just taking your time and not following what other people think, because it is really hard once you get connected to some place to have to up and leave in a couple weeks if you're going in between semesters,
Yeah, definitely. The outside noise is going to be loud for sure from family, friends, people who think they know what's best for you. But at the end of the day, you know what's best for you. You're the one who's feeling what you're feeling when you're at that college, when you're, around those girls. So, take advice from other people and think about it. How much are you willing to go in debt? Like, how much, because schools are expensive now. I mean, like, 70 grand a year. Think about, what's 70 times four? Like it's crazy,
Yeah, exactly. And going off that too, like it you also like you don't want to go into that much debt for and then come out with something you're not even going to use. You know what I mean? So it's like also like we talked about like the major and like you might not know what you want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do either. But like I don't
You
think I
still
would have
don't.
facts. But I'm saying like major wise, like I just went into
Yeah,
college
we
for
were
soccer.
undecided.
Yeah, which again, it was fine, but I don't think I would have went to like a 4 year school if I didn't know what I wanted without soccer. I probably would have went to community college first because like I like you said, going in debt just for to come out with something you're like, oh, I'm never gonna use that again. Like that's crazy. That's just like the system.
Yeah, and I think so many young girls and in high school, don't think about that. You think, I'm going to be playing at, Virginia, Duke, and the excitement, and it is so exciting. But we just want to remind you to think about your future self because she's waiting for you on the other side, and she doesn't want to deal with a bazillion loans. So be practical, have dreams, have hopes, have desires. But if you have to apply for scholarships, if you need to get your grades up because you want to get academic scholarship, do it. Do that because you do not want to come out with 100,000 plus in loans. Like that's what doctors come out with, and obviously they pay it back, not crazy long because they're making a lot. But with an undergraduate degree these days, you're not making 100K off the bat, not even close. You have to work your way up with an undergraduate degree. Even with a master's degree now, you still have to start, at a lower salary and work your way up, in the next 5, 10, 15 years. So I would definitely just say, like, be aware of your future self. And if you're unsure of what you want to do, make sure you're not going into crazy debt for a degree that you may not use.
Yeah. Like we're talking about like earlier self-awareness, like on the field, like your ability plus your education plus your finances, like just be very self-aware. And it's so easy when you're young to just like listen to older people and the noise, but like you said, do your research, like think for yourself, you. But it's, I mean, it's hard when you're so young, so it's like I get it, but I think yeah, just have your future self in mind and what you want in mind.
For sure. I feel like this is kind of a good point to transition into job searching and a little bit of our experiences. Because like to just conclude the recruitment process, like it is an uphill battle. Like you're constantly wondering if you're making the right choice, constantly wondering, am I gonna enjoy it here? And then, freshman fall is hard for everybody. You're away from your friends for the first time, you're away from home. You may not think it's the right fit, Our friend Grace like was like thinking about transferring sophomore year and because she wasn't playing, and then junior year she was our starting center back and has been starting ever since and had a wonderful career, but she faced challenges of contemplating if this was the right place for her. So stick it out too when you feel like things aren't going your way for a little bit. But then, you know, if you're finding yourself really unhappy, that's a good time to really consider what your other options are. But I just think, you know, give yourself, you know, kindness during the process, because it's not easy, especially when, you know, you're not getting the coaches that you want to email you back or call you or things like that.
But yeah, one more thing on that too, like Neil, our head coach at Binghamton, he, when we were in the recruiting process, he was like, I want you to go and see every school possible and talk to every coach possible, because I want you to make sure like Binghamton is the right fit for you. And I think that's such an important note, is like, go see, go explore, go experience, but also like, if someone is like putting a timeline on you and putting pressure on you, just know like there's someone else out there who wants you to make the decision for you.
You just cut out. Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why I cut out there. But I was just saying, like, there's someone out there who's waiting for you to make the decision that's best for you and who's not going to pressure you. So I think that's just important going back to that, is, like, the morals and stuff like that. So, but yeah, yeah. Transitioning to the like- job. Oh, sorry.
And you cut me off again. And I'm just saying, and a coach who's like willing to give you time to make a decision is just a sign of their character. You know, and a coach, you know, obviously there's other reasons. Like if they are going between you and another player, they need a response. Like that's different. But it's important to have a coach who wants you to be in the right place for you and not just want you to be there because they want you there. They want you to want to be there, if that makes sense. That's a lot of wants. But now transitioning into job searching, finally. Yeah. Livy, you are really the only one with, like, a big girl jobby now.
I don't know if I would call it a big girl job. Like, it's still an internship-type position. But, yeah.
Well, you're working 40 hours a week.
Yeah, a little more than that. But... yeah,
oh,
I mean,
my bad.
Yeah, you know me.
Lo siento.
Little retriever.
What is going on with your Wi-Fi?
I don't know. Is it working?
Kind of, but you're delayed on the video.
Hello. Yeah, you like paused too a little bit, but whatever. I think it's fine. Peace, love, zooming. Yeah, so I'm currently, like, obviously searching for, like, a full-time position when this is done in June. So that's fun. But the job search is, I would just say, like a 1 out of 10 experience, usually. Like, it's not the vibe.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Can you relate?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean... I've had to apply for, like, my internships for social work. Like, you have internships each year. And my first one was at the community college. And, like, I just applied, got an interview, and got the job. And then same for my now part-time job and my internship. And I think just, like, because they need interns and, like, it's just very different than a real job. Because, like, also our school, like, communicates with them and, like, sends them our info and stuff. But, like, I've applied for jobs in other ways. But, like, now I'm, like, really ramping up the job search because I graduate in May. And I feel like it's just so tough because it's, like, you get so defeated just applying for a bunch of places and then not hearing back from anyone. And then also it's just, like, for me, it's so hard because – there's like different levels of social work degrees. So there's a bachelor's of social work. There's a master's of social work. Then if you pass your licensure exam, you have your LMSW. And then in 3 years, you can get your LCSW, which is you'll be a licensed clinical social worker. And it's really hard for me to like find those LMSW jobs, but I can't say I have my L because I don't, because I can't apply for it until I have my MSW, like, in my hand. Like, New York State won't let me apply for it. So I feel like that's really hard because they, like, ask me that, and I'm like, I don't know what to say because I don't have it, but I will hopefully have it before I would start my job. Anyways, I feel like a lot of people can relate to that in, like, different fields, of just, like, what do I say? And now with, like, I know people, like, always beef up their resumes, but I'm always scared, like, they're going to ask me about something I beefed up. I'm going to be, like, not able to lie because I'm the worst liar on the planet and just be like, actually, I made that up.
Yeah. It's not ideal. I mean, that's, like, a specific circumstance, which I know it's the same thing with, like, probably an MBA or whatever. Like, you can't say you have an MBA until you actually have an MBA. But I don't know. I think building a resume and, like, applying to stuff is, like you said, it can be very discouraging and draining. But I also think it's important to just, like, put yourself out there and, like, not put on specific restraints that are, like, only this, 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 or this. But it's also important not to be, like, I'll do anything. Because that can also be discouraging. So I think finding that kind of sweet spot, but that's also hard too. So I don't really know. I'm working on it. So
I was gonna say, I don't think you're really helping people listening by saying all that, but, it's how you feel. So I get it. But I just think, like, ask people who are in roles that you want to get to or want to be in, ask them how they got there, what they did to get there, the steps that they took, you know. And also, one of my supervisors had told me, like, what he did was, as he was kind of getting into the workforce, was, like, really looking at the people who are not like him. So the people who are doing his job or in the same roles but do not have the same, like, personality traits or strengths, because that's how you learn. Like, for me, like, I'm more of, like, a people person, like, a communicator, a conflict, like, resoluter. Like, I really like, I'm, that's kind of what I'm about. But then, like, other people in my office are, like, you know, on the quieter side. They like to do more behind the scene work of, like, project management, planning, evaluations. And I'm like, that sounds horrible to me, but I need to ask them and learn from them because I need to grow in that area. And even though it's not interesting to me, you have to be a well-rounded person in any role. So getting any experience can be really helpful in asking those people, like, what they do and asking them to show you and teach you things can be important, because even when you're interviewing, to be able to talk about how well-rounded you are, I think can be really beneficial.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's just like focusing on your strengths. I think, yeah, getting into, like, the interview process a little bit more. It's like, you know, do research on your interviewer, or do research on wherever you're applying the job. Like, make sure you have a list of questions, like, prepare, but also don't sound scripted. So, like you said before, I'm not sure if that's helpful, because it's always, like, finding that balance and finding that in between. But I think it kind of goes for everything. Like, if you want something, and you like the subject matter that you're interviewing for, like, you'll do good. Like, if you want something, like, believe in yourself and do it, then you'll be fine. But if you're like, eh, I don't care about this, or like, oh, I just want to get this over with, or oh, I'm too scared, like, whatever, like, then you're probably not going to do good. I think, like, projecting confidence is really hard, especially, like, if you're just coming out of college, you've never really had a big job. Like, they're asking you all these questions and you're just like, but I think it's also important to just be honest. Like, when I was interviewing for this job, they were like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I was like, honestly, I don't know. Like, I love working with athletes. I love, like, being in the college field. I love soccer. Like, I don't know where that's going to take me, but I can definitely see myself working in this field. And, like, that's why I want this position, is to learn more about it and grow and blah, 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 whatever. But, like, I wasn't like, this is where I'm, like, don't, like, sound scripted and make something up if you really don't know. Because I think that they'll respect that more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, just say, I don't know. And just, I think, too, like you said, like, confidence is hard to project, but I don't think enthusiasm is hard to project. Like, when anytime I get on an interview, like, I am like, hello, it's so great to finally meet you. I did, you know, I looked up about, you know, how you got into that role and what you've done, and I really think it's amazing and fascinating, and this is what I like, blah, 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 blah. But, like, see how my tone changes? And I think in today's generation, with so much is on Zoom and people can't tell your personality, people like somebody who's, like, interested and passionate about this role. So I don't care what you have to do. If you have to do some smelling salts or something to get you ready. Don't give me those eyes. That was funny.
I don't even know. Is that legal?
You can get them like CVS.
Oh. Then yeah, let's do it.
Anyways, I'm just saying, if somebody is like has a hard time being like genuinely enthusiastic, like for me, I don't think that's very hard. But like, I just like I've noticed like people who I've interviewed for, I tend to ask them, you know, when I'm like friendlier with them, like 6 months after I've been working there, I'm like, how was my interview? Like, tell me about it. And they're just like, you just sounded like very enthusiastic. And other people might have been more knowledgeable than you or had more experience than you, but you wanted it more and we could just tell. And so, like, obviously, you know, my resume was blah, blah, blah. But I just think be the person that they remember, like, however you have to do that. And I think for me, a good way is enthusiasm. It's just really being like, I love what you're doing at this, you know, company. I think I can really, really make an impact with this experience that I have, and connect your experiences to that role, and really explain how, because I've done this, I can now do this for you. But I think it's always hard and, you know, nerve wracking, but people are always going to rather somebody over enthusiastic at an interview than somebody who's like, yeah, I'm here because I did this role. And I think this could be a good fit for me. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you said, I think it's going to be nerves, but you can kind of control your attitude. And sometimes the people who are doing the interview aren't going to be the most, like, enthusiastic. Sometimes it's like they already did 20 interviews before you, whatever the case may be. So it's like you said, like, stand out, be that voice, and also just, like, believe in yourself, like, you might not have the experience, you might not have the expertise, but if you're confident and you go in prepared, so have questions, have an idea of the company, because if you don't look anything up and you go in there, like, it's not going to probably go well. but, yeah, I mean, like, just use the materials that you have. Like, ChatGPT, I know, like, it's has all, like, it's issues and stuff, but it can help you, like, come up with questions to ask. Like, I'm interviewing for this job at blah, 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 for this role. Like, what would be some good questions to ask my employer? And, like, you don't need to, like, copy them and paste them and read off them, but, like, get a sense of kind of what questions you should be forming and what things you should be asking. Because I think it can be a helpful tool when it comes to that. Or even if you're looking for what job you want, you know, these are the skills I like. This is where I want to live. This is my previous experience. What would be a good role for me? What would be a good fit for me? Blah, 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 blah. Like, these are my personality traits. What would be my best attack when going for an interview? Like, I don't know. There's so many things that it can help you with and the people you love can help you with. But I think use all the tools that you have and don't be afraid to just, like, be you, but extra happy and excited, because, like Tori said, like, people do that. I think that definitely does make a big difference.
Yeah, I think that was really good advice, because it is so important to use ChatGPT as a tool, right? And, you know, what it can kind of help you formulate when you can't kind of think of stuff on your own. But I think it's hard, and a lot of the times people think they have to be the best candidate on paper or have the most experience or the most knowledge to get a role. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, obviously people look at experience 100%, but if you've gotten to the stage where you're getting interviewed, it's no longer looking at the paper. Like, of course they're going to glance at it, but if you've gotten to the stage of the interview, they want you. They want to see who you are as a person, how you're going to be as a coworker, how you're going to be as an employee, how you're going to be as a potential boss if you stay in that agency and you're mentoring new hires. They want to see how you're going to treat other people, how you're going to show up to the office. Are you going to come in with a negative energy every day? Are you going to come in and try to bring the office vibes up? Like, you know, can you make people laugh? Can you get along with others? And that's what they're looking for at the interview stage. They're not looking for your experience or knowledge. So if you don't know something or you don't have experience, just say it and say you're eager to learn. You're eager to learn from them, from, you know, their employees. So I think just the job search is hard in general. So, but if you're getting to the interview phase, know that they've already approved your resume pretty much. Like they know that you're qualified. So now just sell yourself and make sure to follow through up on that after your interview. If you get the job, follow through and be who you were on that interview. Because you know, they'll leave notes for your next employer and say, hey, on the interview, they seemed great, but when they came in, they didn't have that same energy. So remember, like, they can impact your further work. So
yeah. And going off following up, it's important, like, to follow up after an interview and email and thank them, or follow up after even something that said, like, you didn't make it, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really hard, and, like, I don't really have that much experience in it, so.
Hello?
Hello?
Why do you keep doing that?
I don't know where you went. Oh, here you are.
You've really got to sort out your priorities.
So, yeah, obviously, like, we don't have, like, this crazy amount of experience, but with what we do, we've both gotten the things that we've applied for, so that's cool. But I think the most important is just, yeah, like, being yourself, but then, yeah, follow-up email. It's like, no one really teaches you these things, so it's kind of hard, because it's like, first time after, like, an interview, you're, like, telling someone about it, and they're like, did you follow up and thank them? And you're like, no. And they're like, that's common sense. I'm like, well, we don't learn that in college. We don't learn how to interview this, how to put our money away and save, build credit, but we learn about whatever. That's besides the point. But either way, like, yeah, use your tools and do your research on how to better yourself, because not everyone, we aren't really taught those things. But mm-hmm. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please follow us at recently.retired on Instagram and ask us any questions that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good to chat with all of you. If you have any questions or, like, you want to ask us about the roles that we're in or our experience, like, shoot us a text. But Libby, I thought it would be fun to end this call of, like, how have you enjoyed Recently Retired, the podcast so far? I know we're about to wrap up season one next week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil next week's episode, but we're going to do a fun little recap and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm loving it. I think it's a good way to stay connected to, like, each other, our morals, our past, present, and future. And yeah, I mean, podcasts are fun, something you can put on your resume for work.
Look at that connection.
Yeah, connecting it all together. What about you?
Yeah, I've just enjoyed like, when people, like, send us a text about a certain episode, or that they listened, or that they loved, you know, that we said this or talked about this. I feel like that's kind of what just makes it all worth it. Yeah, and it's just fun. It's fun to get on here and talk, but, you know, we're open to any feedback or comments, good or bad, that you guys have for us. So if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, like, send us a text about what you've liked, what you didn't like, or send us a DM, whatever. But I think it's just been fun to rehash the past and also look into the future. And I'm excited for what the last episode has in store, and then season two.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye, everyone.